Come to order. It's Monday, April the 14th. It's about nearly 9:05. I'm joined by Co-Chair Wilken, Senator Stevens, Senator Bundy, Senator Olson, Senator Hoffman, and myself, Senator Green. As a reminder to anyone in the building who may have an audible pager or a cell phone, if they can be turned off. And the purpose of today's meeting, meetings, is to hear the subcommittee's recommendations to the full committee on the various departments in the Alaska government. And members have copies of the reports in your binders. And for the public, this is available on www.legfin.state.ac.us. So if you'd like to follow along on at home on your computer. And there will not be testimony today other than department responses regarding the recommendations. We will do as many departments as we can this morning, and break for four session and afternoon meetings, and then we will reconvene at 4 p.m. to hear the remainder of the reports and, as a committee of the whole, under Senator Stevens' guidance, to close out the university budget. Senator Wilken, anything to report this morning?
Thank you.
Okay, with that, Senator Wilken, if you will, I will. If you would begin with community and economic development.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Senate Finance Budget Subcommittee on the Department of Community and Economic Development recommends funding DCED general fund budget at the governor's requested level of $32.87 million, which represents a 19.1% reduction in GF spending for this department compared with FY03 management plan. The subcommittee recommends the total agency expenditures be increased by $485,300 above the governor's amended budget request. Please note this increase is funded entirely by receipt-supported services in the Regulatory Commission of Alaska receipts, not general fund. This increase in funding recommendation comes at the request of the department. In regard to ASTF, the Senate Finance Subcommittee also accepts the governor's elimination of all funding for ASTF. However, the subcommittee would like to recommend not transferring the balance of the ASTF endowment into the general fund as the governor is proposing. It may be worthwhile to consider maintaining the balance of the endowment as is and instead use these monies as one-time spending as other funds for future consideration. Wanted to give a headcount report, which I thought I had marked. I do. This budget reflects a reduction of 5 permanent full-time and 2 permanent part-time over at O3 management plan.
And what page are you on in the report?
This happens to be page 3 of agency total Senate structure. Mm-hmm. And Madam Chair, that's my report on DCED.
Thank you. Senator Wilkins, are there any questions? Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I have some concerns. I wonder if you could give us a brief outline of how power cost equalization is affected by this budget.
I don't know how PC is affected in this budget. It's funded at the governor's level as of this presentation. Is there a specific line you're referring to?
No, but I believe I was informed that the power cost equalization is funded at approximately $3.1 million below the funding of last year. And I'll verify that and possibly we'll bring that up at when the bill is marked up next week, and maybe I'll have some discussions with you between now and then, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Wilton.
We didn't, in regard to PCE, we didn't change anything in the governor's requests, and it wasn't a subject of conversation at our subcommittee meetings. But if you'll point me in the right direction, I'll be glad to respond.
I'll be in touch with you between now and then. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you, because the line entries show consistent funding, so maybe there's something else at play. Are there any other questions? Senator Bundy.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. In view of at least some interest in limiting the draw on the CBR, did the subcommittee have any discussions about how they backfilled, I think, the $87 million gap that would be created if science and tech wasn't added to the general fund?
We did not. The money is... we didn't do anything in the budget to maintain ASTF. It goes away as of this budget. We just retain the flexibility of leaving the money in place for now for future consideration in this budget year. So.
Thank you.
Does the department wish to respond? Thank you, no. Okay. That concludes the report on community and economic development, education, early development.
Madam Chair, the Finance Subcommittee funds the budget at the governor's requested level, with one exception, that being on page 4 of increments and decrements. It's a small item. We increased receipt authority for Sheldon Jackson Museum so that they could collect additional revenues to keep the museum open as current operations. That's the only money change. I should let you know a couple of comments for the committee, for you and for the committee, that will come up at a future time. The cumulative effect of the proposed reductions for K-12 as proposed in this budget is a concern, and additional discussion at this full Senate finance table is desired. I'll come back to that in a moment. This budget does reflect a 9.3 million decrease in the logs, a 10.7 decrease in pupil trans, a $2.2 million decrease in tuition reimbursement, a $6.6 million decrease in debt reimbursement, and a $500,000 decrease in community schools for a $29.3 million decline. I should also let you know, Madam Chair, that in our discussions, we've found that the number of students claimed as intensive service students has increased 26.2% in the last 5 years. These are the students that each school district, as they claim them, get five times the student dollars, so around $20,000. The subcommittee believes that there should be a study to go out and actually audit that number. It hasn't been audited fully for a number of years. That study should cost about $223,000. So we'll consider that as the budget process works through. I think the return on that audit could be well in excess of $223,000. Third, the budget proposes to eliminate Alyeska Central School's interagency receipts. Subcommittee is unclear how this proposal may impact ACS if SB 107 does not pass. The budget change eliminates 48 positions in ACS. In regard to legislation, passage of Senate Bill 110, the under school age students, Senate Bill 110, also Senate Bill 121 Community Schools and Senate Bill 107 Correspondence Study are all reflected in this as legislation that must pass to keep this budget recommendation whole. So amendments to the operating budget may be necessary if this above legislation doesn't pass. The headcount, this department has undergone some major changes because of a lot of their functions have been transferred to other departments. So it's a rather striking decrease in headcount of 87 permanent full-times, 25 permanent part-times, and one temporary. And those increases, to varying degrees, will show up in different budgets. In regard to the $29.3 million decreases in the governor's budget, the members of the subcommittee, that being myself, Senator Dyson, and Senator Davis, all put a letter of concern addressed April 11th. And this letter of concern is attached to this budget, Madam Chair, and simply says that the three of us are concerned about the reductions that we've discussed earlier, and we'll work to increase these reductions, all or in part, as we work through the remainder of the budget process. And with that, I'd be glad to entertain questions on education.
Senator Bundy.
Thank you again, Madam Chair. I think all of us have received a considerable amount of communication regarding Alaska Central School in some iterations. They indicate that this reduction wouldn't save any money. As a matter of fact, it would cost money. I think maybe based on the assumption that all current members of Alaska or our current Alaska students would go to brick and mortar schools. But did the subcommittee address this, and what was the response?
There's two components. Thank you. There's two components, Senator Bundy. The first is the summer school. That's the by taking down the summer school, there will be a savings of $1.2 million. That's reflected in the budget should the legislation pass. The remainder of the school, it's in the subcommittee's opinion, it's revenue neutral. If the student that's going now using ACS would go to a brick and mortar school or to another correspondence school somewhere of the ones that are offered across the state, they would still be funded at the same level, 80%. So it's dollar for dollar. There is no increase or decrease.
Thank you.
Are there other questions from the members? Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. It's good to hear that the chairman has some concerns about this budget. You know, I think that everyone at this table probably has similar concerns about reducing the education budget a little under $30 million, and I'm sure that we'll be having further debate once we have markup on this particular budget next week. But, you know, I don't have any specific questions. I think that the report that we have is that he has given is a good one. I'm concerned, I guess, in that many of the components that you have that require legislation, I guess I would have preferred to see that they would stay in there, and if the budget, if those particular pieces of legislation pass, then they would be addressed at that time. But that was the chairman's prerogative. So with that, we'll wait to see what action the full committee has. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
No, I do have to say, I think there's some unique circumstances this year in crafting this budget with as much legislation as there is, combined with the total of department switches and shifts between departments, that it gets very difficult. And I know there are a couple of pieces of legislation pending that would also cause increases in this budget, and that's the enactment of Senate Bill 345 from last year, having to do with school districts becoming vendors. And then another one we have out there is if we bring our in the future bring psychiatric students back to this state, then we discontinue sending hundreds of thousands of dollars to out-of-state districts to educate our students. So that things are happening, but it's hard to measure. Would the Department of Education Early Development like to respond? Thank you. Thank you, Senator Wilkin. And now transportation and public facilities.
Thank you, Madam
and
Chair.
I'd like to recognize that you can join with Senator Taylor. Welcome.
The Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, the Senate Finance Operating Budget Allocation for .puff resulted in a $699,700 general fund reduction to the governor's amended request. This has been accomplished and reflected in the transaction sheets, and it was done through two means. First, a $30,000 reduction in contractual expenses from highways and aviation, BRU, and this simply was a reduction in the amount of money needed to put up signs along the highway. to tell people to pull over when they're blocking traffic. The major part was $669,700. That reduction in general funds was replaced by an increase in CIP receipts for the same amount, which is reflected in the department's indirect cost allocation plan. This subcommittee report fully funds the governor's request for FY04, supports his commitment to continue an increased level of highway and airport maintenance. This report also reflects the subcommittee's support for the governor's reorganization of the department. I might just, in comments, say that this is the first time I've had this budget, but it was striking to see that the willingness and the cooperation of the department to actually what amounts to go to middle management and try to consolidate spans of control and take the monies realized and take it and put it into things that frankly are more important, and that is maintenance and operation. And this is from a commissioner that really just came on board relatively quickly and didn't really have a chance to scrub this budget up. I think the sense I have is that we're going to see a lot more efficiencies in this department come to us in the FY05 budget. So it's definitely a move in the right direction, and I was encouraged that this major budget is getting a very intense scrutiny by the new head of that department. So that's an editorial comment on my part. But with that, Madam Chair, that's the DOTPUF budget.
Are there any questions of the committee members about the DOTPUF? Senator Taylor?
Yeah, the reduction on Marine Highway of 579.
H, please.
I don't want to come off the spreadsheet. It's on spreadsheet page 1 of...
Spreadsheet.
Where are you at? I'm sorry, what page are you? Page 1, end of line.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's reflecting a governor's move.
House to Senate.
That's House to Senate, I'm sorry.
Okay.
But apparently we're 579 under House, right?
See, are you looking at account number 1076?
Yep.
So we're, the governor was 86.135 million, yep. And we're at 86.236. So we're an increase of 101.
I see. Oh, I'm sorry. The differentials between us and the House is what I was talking about. That's okay. We can negotiate that one.
All right.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Would the department like to respond? Thank you. Thank you, Senator Wilkin.
Madam Chairman.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I did have one question, and that had to do with the behind schedule and the over budget situation that's happening at the airport there in Anchorage. Was that addressed at all?
Senator Olson, it was not. That's a subject of a whole different it's a whole different subject. And it's not addressed in this budget.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to the subcommittees that I chaired. First is corrections. The governor's budget reduces state general fund expenditures by $6.5 million and reduces overall spending by $2.8 million. And with a couple of pieces of legislation we're relying on to make this happen for our part of it. One is the Correctional Industries Program, and the other is the Special Medical Parole. Those are each involve savings to the department, and some use of PFD for criminal funds. There'll be increased revenue from convicted felons and third-time misdemeanors. And there's some changes about reductions to inmate programs, refocus sex offender and substance treatment programs. And then there was a 0.5% across the board reduction in the governor's budget of $800,000. We have one structural change within the budget, and that was to create what's called the Anchorage Correctional Complex, which combines the two facilities in one. A management unit, that's the Anchorage Jail and the Cook Inlet Correctional Facility. Any questions about the corrections budget? Does the department wish to respond? Thank you. Okay. Moving on to Health and Social Services. It's hard to give this report without referring back to the myriad of changes that the department already has in place, and we have accepted and agreed to the changes that they were able to do organizationally with, certainly by executive order and by just restructuring. There are other pieces of legislation going through the process now that will definitely impact how this budget turns out and what the final word on this will be. In the move from administration of the longevity bonus program over to the Health and Social Services, there's in this, for purposes of this budget, the longevity bonus has been is not funded. The and the changes to the administration of the Medicaid program are indicated in the transfer of responsibility for senior services and child care assistance program from DOA and education. There have been reductions to lower priority grant programs and full funding of formula-driven programs. The subcommittee recommends the following changes: a net reduction of state general funds of $7.4 million, reprogramming of alcohol tax and tobacco settlement funds, and elimination of two programs, and changes to the state's comprehensive mental health programs requested by the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. In this particular budget, you find yourself working with lots of different interest groups and people who bring certain interests and, in certain cases, their own money to the table. And in the decision-making process, we tried to do the best we could to see that all people were pleased and that the department could work through it. The and the children's services, there's a reduction of $1.5 million, and the foster care rate, base rate, and special needs, there have been some overfunding and some non-use of funds and oversubscription, and so we've cut that. And then the other thing we've done, there's been a typical $500,000 item in the budget for court orders and reunification efforts each year, and that is an item no one can forecast or predict. And we liken this to more the item we see in the final budget. I guess it's for law, where you come back in for your judgments and claims, and this is more in that effort. And so we are going to fund that on a supplemental basis, only because this cannot be predicted. There may be no judge in the state that says you need to go and try to reunify these people, or you, this person needs counseling or whatever. And this will require an effort on the part of the people representing folks in court through Health and Social Services to say to have the judge reconsider whose responsibility it is to provide the funding for those efforts. In the Medicaid, we're using alcohol tax fund for existing behavioral health programs and using tobacco settlement receipts for treatment of tobacco-related illness. And under tobacco prevention and control, there was just a small piece of GF that had kind of filtered through the system for about $157,000, and we've zeroed that out and reduced other funding to FY02 levels of $2,046. Other grant programs, the incremental increases to AYI infant learning program grants. When, again, on the infant learning program grants, we've been achieving or trying to achieve a standard to reach all at-risk and people who present with developmental delays. The standard by the feds is that it's someone who is presenting with a developmental disability or a developmental delay. And this is also to make this needs-based. Anyone who can pay for the services should pay for the services or certainly cooperate and do a copay. The community health grants, it has been the focus of this year's budget that direct services to individuals be the priority, and that there'll be less money going into non-direct services. Department-wide administration is cut $490,000, and that's spread throughout personal services, travel, and contractual reductions. On my bullet here says termination of the balloon project, and what we're actually doing is after the three-year pilot project, which I think ended 2 years ago, or maybe just one, I think we're in the fifth year of the balloon project, it is with us. We are absorbing those and transferring the positions to frontline social workers, and they were creating an adoption placement legal services component because it's important that there still continue to be a money set aside on the legal side that goes to OPA and the DPA. And on the healthy families, that's had previously been funded by TANF funds. That money is no longer available, but it's transferred the Better Beginnings portion of that to Children's Service Management, and that was the Better Beginning is an earmark from Senator Ted Stevens and can only be used for the Better Beginnings program. The there was an empty IA authority there, and we eliminated that. And in the community health API replacement, we worked with the Mental Health Trust Authority and included what it's actually the single point of entry program, and made some other minor changes in order to accommodate that. Are there questions about this report? Senator Wilkin.
Madam Chair, on page 4 of 7, just so I understand it, and I think we've all got a lot of correspondence about the infant learning program. Mm-hmm. So as I read that, the program is a $4.9 million GF program, and what you've proposed, or the committee has proposed, is to reduce that by $250,000.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
And that's about 5%.
Right.
So I think that's important for us to be able to respond to those people. And then also in there are some guidelines on delivering, how to deliver the services in perhaps a more efficient manner.
That's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the next one on the same page, the tobacco prevention and control. So mm-hmm. the way I read that is that you've eliminated the GF component, 158, mm-hmm. and then taken the 2.04 million and spread it over to other tobacco-related services?
That's correct.
Is that correct?
That's correct. It still has the tie to tobacco-related services to pay the Medicaid portion of the enormous Medicaid budget that we pay out each year for people who suffer from both alcohol-related diseases and tobacco-related diseases.
Well, that helps us, I think, respond to those folks that are concerned about that. So thank you.
Another thing that we might keep in mind is the creation of the program in its startup years possibly required a certain level of funding, and now that program is up and moving very, very well, certainly has the advertising, the brochures, the literature, and is ready to go in a minute to do a campaign. Senator Bundy?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And along those lines of thinking, though, I wouldn't want to think that we, now that it's working, we're going to fix it so it doesn't work.
I think $2 million plus, there's ample to funds to keep that going very well. Are there any other questions? Senator Hoffman?
Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, I'd like to say that, you know, I continue to support the longevity bonus program. It is completely eliminated from this budget. And if there isn't, you know, I plan on addressing that at the full table. I know that there are other people at this table that have the same feelings as I do. And, you know, I just wanted to point that out because that is one of the major changes in the overall operating budget of this legislature. I believe that we made a commitment on the longevity bonus program when we trimmed that program down a few years ago, and hopefully we can successfully address that component. But on the balloon project, my question to you, Madam Chairman, is that we know that that project has been very successful with 90%, as you stated, 90% achievement in placing those children there. And I was wondering, with the transfer of those positions to the social workers, is their major function still going to be able to address the original intent of the program?
We can bring the department. It's my intention that it would be, but there's also there's a possibility that in time, it was often hoped that the as we foster children, foster care children left the system and were placed into adoptive homes, that there would be a leveling off at some point. And Janet may want to speak to that and to see, but I don't know how we any better protect that. But Janet, you want to come forward and talk about the switch to how the what Senator Hoffman's question is the integrity of the balloon project and its original purpose, and is it going to be continued to be addressed with this arrangement?
Thank you. For the record, I'm Janet Clark with the Department of Health and Social Services. Through the Chair, Senator Hoffman, it's our intention to manage that those individuals and those contractual services to our legal partners in a way that protects the work that they do and that they don't get absorbed in the other work, and to focus on moving children out of foster care into permanent homes. So we will continue to focus those individuals on that effort.
And Madam Chairman,
go ahead.
To follow up on Senator Bundy's question, I guess I have concerns about what is happening with the tobacco prevention and control component in this budget, and I was wondering if you might respond. You know, it states here that the management, the implementation of the program in getting the prevention program going was quite costly, and now there's a need to have that trimmed down, and these funds will maintain the program to achieve the advertisement at this lower cost. And I was wondering if that's the feelings of the department.
Through the Chair, Senator Hoffman, I think as I testified in the budget subcommittee, this adjustment is not consistent with the governor's budget. We are disappointed that the funds have been moved out of this, the 20% out of the prevention and treatment component, although we recognize the pressures that the budgets are under. And clearly, the Medicaid program does have significant impact from individuals who've suffered from tobacco-related diseases. So there is certainly a linkage there. But no, Senator Hoffman, this is not consistent with the governor's approach to the budget.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Are there other questions? Or of Janet? Thank you. Under program, go to the governor's office. We generally accepted all of the numbers in the governor's budget, with the exception of the, we would deny the request for a statewide unallocated reduction of $2 million. And the, after adjustments are made for program transfers within the governor's office and other departments, the result is the FY03 management plan plus increases necessary to pay higher health insurance premiums, an increase in interagency receipts for Denali Commission staff, and federal receipts for the Human Rights Commission. And it includes the following organizational changes: primary responsibility of the Equal Opportunity Office transferred to DOA, Division of Personnel, responsibility of the Division of Government Coordination and Seismic Hazard Safety Commission transferred to DNR, and savings from this reorganization transferred to OMB to support new audit functions, and the Division of Elections is assuming responsibility for APOC reporting provided SB 119 or House Bill 157 passes. If the legislation does not pass, the funding and positions will remain in the Department of Administration. Are there any questions about the governor's budget? Okay. Moving on to the court system. Also, was it? Okay, the recommendation for the court system's FY04 budgets totals nearly $56 million, of which $54.8 is general funds. This is one of those departments who is nearly entirely general fund money. And this is a 3.2 increase over last year's budget. It allows the court system to function at a maintenance level and provides increments to pay for improved efficiency in court proceedings and security. The following requests for general fund increases are approved under this proposal: the health insurance premium for employees, the wide area network fee increase, the courtroom security for Juneau, Kenai, and Palmer, the third district judge and court clerk, second district Kotzebue court relocation, second district rent increase in Unalakleet, and the fourth district, the Bethel courtroom additions. After hearing the information about the understaffing and the condition of court spaces in the various locations, we felt compelled to follow through with that. There were also allowed increments in other funding sources, authority receive and expend non-general fund grants, funds, court coordinated resources project, which is a mental health project, domestic violence case handling improvements, and family law self-help center facilitator. These increments represent the court system's highest priority and allow the courts to improve efficiency. And there were 1.15 plus million increment requests denied in their system. Are there questions about the court? Yes, sir, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. You've stated that the health benefits were included in this budget.
That's correct.
And my question, I guess, is that it isn't included in the other, in many of the other departments. Is it the intent to have those health benefits under the contract included in the language section of the legislation, or?
I can't address that. I think you've addressed it in each of your reports.
In my three budgets, all the health increases are all covered in the budget.
It's in all mine. Let's handle it as we get to it, okay. And then we'll kind of see. But we'll be sensitive to that.
I bring that up because we did not include that in the one that Senator Bundy had chaired on D DNR, and, but he said later on that it was going to be addressed at the full committee level, and I just didn't know how the health benefits were being, were they being treated equally or...
Okay, thanks for reminding us on that. Okay, are there other questions about the court budget? Did courts wish it response? Okay, thank you. And on the office, on the legislature's budget, the legislature's budget shows a 1.6 decrease from 03 management plan, and it's 1.5 million dollars below the governor's amended request. And so it's the recommendation provides funding for the individual component at the amounts requested by the Legislative Affairs, Ledge Audit, and Ledge Finance. With two exceptions, it's the same budget as adopted by the House. The Office of Victims' Rights requested an increase 35.3 in PFD funds. And 14,000 plus fund source change from general funds to PFD funds to cover increased costs for FY04. The House approved the increase and reduced PFD funds available for the Department of Corrections. This recommendation approves the requested increase but funds it with GF rather than PFD funds. The House authorized an FY04 allocation of $1.5 million for committee expenses of the Budget and Audit Committee. After consultation with the chair of that committee, the contractual line of this allocation was reduced by $100,000 in the Senate recommendation. Are there any questions about this report? Okay. That concludes the reports that I was going to bring. Senator Stevens. If you could first do fish and game and then public safety.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Fish and game. We came in at the governor's requested number on GF recommendation. We made a few changes in the overall request of the governor of an increase of $690,000, resulting from a $500,000 increase in federal receipt authority for the U.S. and Canada Yukon River Treaty, and the other increase is an increase in fish and game funds, $190,000 allocated to sport fish appropriation and wildlife conservation. The other major change we did from the House was transfer $800,000 in general funds from state subsistence component to Comfish, and we spread that $800,000 across the various components of commercial fisheries. The governor's recommendation was a decrease to commercial fisheries. We took that money back, and I might note, Madam Chairman, that state subsistence is funded at general fund level the same as last year, at $224,000. We also recognized a transfer of some of the habitat responsibilities into sport fish habitat, resulted in a transfer of $264,000 general funds to Habitat, and that's going to be a temporary transfer as a result of the reorganization of the Habitat division until they can find a permanent home for some of those habitat biologists within the sport fish division. Other than that, we met the governor's objective in terms of general fund, just transferred some money around within the departments. And that's about the report on fish and game, Madam Chairman. Is there questions?
There are questions. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My question is in regard to a related item, the $35 million for the disaster relief. I was wondering how the state is going to receive and expend those dollars, or was that going to be handled someplace in the budget, another portion of the budget, or how are we going to be able to receive and expend those dollars, since we are the appropriating authority, even though the governor's administering those dollars, we as the legislature still have the power of appropriation. I was wondering how that is going to be dealt with in this budget.
Mr. Senator Hoffman, it's my understanding that the $35 million went to the governor's office, and he's got a proposal that he's working on, and will introduce that for the recommended use of those funds. I don't think he's ready to release that. I know he's been working on it.
But it's the intent to roll that into the operating budget or another appropriation document before the session is over?
I don't, Madam Chairman, I don't know the answer to that. Yeah.
And I think that's critical. If in fact, I know that there are plans to try to get something going regarding the fisheries this coming year, and I would encourage that we do take some action on that appropriation, on getting, receiving, and acting upon those recommendations before this year is out.
Thank you. Are there other questions? Senator Taylor.
Yeah, page one of the spreadsheet, near the bottom of the page, you've got Crystal Lake Hatchery was funded at 192.7. Zeroed out. I just wondered if there was some other funding source going to the hatchery, or...
You know, I don't have the answer to that. I remember the discussion on that, Senator Taylor. Maybe the department can... Mr. Brooks might have the answer to that. I don't remember that.
Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Senator Taylor, the Crystal Lake Hatchery was transferred into the Sportfish BRU. That remaining $192,000 is tied up in a contract with the Southern Southeast Aquaculture Association. It's a permanent part of the budget, so instead of having it separated out in a separate component, we just have it rolled in now, and it continues to be an ongoing part of the Sportfish.
I thought that was part of it, but I wasn't sure, so I just wanted
to... Kevin, could you introduce yourself for the record, please?
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Kevin Brooks. I'm the Administrative Services Director for the Department of Fish and Game.
Oh, if I could. Are you then going to be using the salmon enhancement funds that have been coming? Because that's a funding source that we've used over the last, I think, 2 years, two funding cycles at least, maybe three now. Is that going to be part of that funding source?
Through the chair and Senator Taylor, the funds, we use fish and game funds for that, for our portion of that operation. So that 192.7 is fish and game funds derived from...
It's Wallop, Johnson, Dinglebro stuff?
It's actually the hunting or fishing license revenue.
From fishing license on the increase on the king salmon stamp?
Well,
salmon stamp?
It'd be a portion of both the straight license revenue as well as that king salmon stamp revenue.
Okay. I thought there was some utilization, though, or at least some negotiation going on involving the when Sarah took over not only that facility but some others, there has been some discussion concerning debt forgiveness. There's also been discussion about interest levels and repayments and so on. To better meet cash flow problems that I know they're having there, and I just wondered if in this process we were going to come up with some final solution to that ongoing difficulty. I know we have used salmon enhancement funds, federal funds in the past for that purpose, and felt that since there's been a significant increase in those funding levels, that might be a source for resolving that, and just wondered where we were in that process.
Through the chair and Senator Taylor, I would have to get back to you and with some specific information on that. What I can tell you, though, is with this contract and the commitment that we have, Sarah is able to continue operating, and with the release sites that we've identified, I think think there's general agreement in a workable situation here for them to continue with this, with the releases that we're doing from that hatchery. As far as the salmon enhancement funds that you're referring to, I would have to confer with some other folks and get back to your office on that information.
If you would, I'd sure appreciate it. I think it provides us with a solution if we want to move forward with it, which would in the long run save the state some money. Thank you.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wonder if you might respond to what is not going to happen is in the subsistence division as a result of the transfer of the $800,000 from the subsistence component to Comfish.
Through the chair and Senator Hoffman, Senator Stevens indicated this budget basically puts us back in the same situation we were faced with last year on the subsistence general fund level. You know, there's funding in on the House side. You know, we really are sitting here trying to, you know, ascertain how we would implement the budget at this level. It's, you know, the reductions in Comfish were difficult, and certainly this poses some other challenges for us as well. And it's just been since Friday since we've, you know, really been working on under this scenario. So
that was my question was, how were you going to spend the $800,000 that was eliminated?
Okay. Through the chair, thank you, Senator Hoffman. With that, we basically do subsistence harvest assessments in the subsistence division, and that's what we use that general fund for, as well as certain federal funds that we're able to get through the Office of Subsistence Management. So it basically is used for harvest assessments around the state on the uses of subsistence.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Are there questions? Other questions? Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
That concludes Fish and Game. Public Safety?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Public Safety, we in the public safety budget, Madam Chairman, we accepted the transfer of general funds, moving the Victims for Justice from the Department of Public Safety to the Department of Law. We had a fund source change of $431,000 from general funds to receipt supported services, and this is spread across the various departments, Madam Chairman, to meet their increases from the communications contract. We also allowed for interagency receipt of $280,000 for Fish and Wildlife Protection, marine enforcement component for the Wolstad and Stimson patrol vessels. We denied the increase of GF, which essentially is tied to the fund source change to the receipt supported services. And we also recommended the technical line item transfer from the Alaska Public Safety Information Network, moving $47,000 in contractual to correct the governor's request. We came in, Madam Chairman, slightly above the governor's request, I believe, as a result of transfer. And as the net increase of receiving the, but Madam Chairman, the important thing to consider here is under the governor's request, we came in $677,000 below in GF receipts on page one of the agency totals. And so the net of the various transfers and requests, that's the important component there, Madam Chairman, as a result of the denying the $431,000 and transfer the change of the and then the $246,000 in switch from Victims for Justice. Well, we really didn't. The main thing that we did compared to the governor was deny that the increase for the ACS contract that he has allowed him to take receipt support services.
Okay. Any questions? Senator Hoffman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I wonder, Senator Stevens, if you could outline the how the enforcement with the WASDAD and the Stimson are funded in this budget.
Madam Chairman, you can see on the its interagency receipts an increase of $280,000 on page one of the agency totals. This agreement was worked out. Essentially, it's a transfer, an interagency agreement that was worked out between the Department of Fish and Game and the Department of Public Safety, that they'll work together to utilize those patrol vessels on common missions.
But is there funds in here for the WASDAD as well, or just the Stimson?
This is for both.
For both?
This takes the combination of this $280,000 puts the marine enforcement component of the BRU back to where they both have adequate funding to continue the operations as they did in 03.
I wonder, Mr. Chairman, if we can have the department, because I was under the impression that additional dollars would be required for the WASDAD in the capital budget.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, I'll have her come forward, and you can ask her to be.
This is the answer. You answer your question. If the funds become available for the refurbishment of the WASDAD, this will come into play. If it doesn't, then this will go to work.
You would identify yourself and address the conversation.
For the record, Madam Chair, my name is Karen Morgan. I'm the Admin Services Director in the Department of Public Safety. And for the record, Senator Hoffman, through the chair, you're correct. There's some additional capital funds that would be required to put WASDAD back in service. And we've been working with subcommittees to address those needs.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any other questions about public safety? Senator Taylor?
I noted a $127,000 reduction on the aircraft section. Had an interest in that, isn't it? I think others have joined me in that now, as we've discovered the size of the fleet of both aircraft and rotors that we are we're operating, and the budgeting process is probably a crude way to approach what should be a policy decision made by the legislature as to whether or not we're going to have such things as search and rescue being done by Civil Air Patrol and volunteers, as they always have been in the past, or whether it's going to be the exclusive domain of public safety, which it has become over the last 2 years. In fact, the civil aviation people and other volunteers have complained to me, and I know to others, that they're no longer ever dispatched. Instead, you have some trooper being paid overtime to fly around in one of our aircraft. I have a serious concern that in doing so, we have moved into a phase, I guess, where only troopers can fly trooper airplanes and only for trooper purposes, which, as everyone knows, included flying the governor around for the last several years in a twin-engine pressurized aircraft 85% of its time. It wasn't being flown for trooper purposes. And that should actually be part of the governor's budget, not part of the state trooper's budget. Furthermore, the quality of pilots, we have discussed at this table concerns that the those people wanting to contract with the Department of Fish and Game to fly stream surveys, and those contract requirements for those pilots have been significantly increased in just the last couple years, to where you have to have several thousand hours of experience in flying that type of aircraft before you can even bid within the department on flying one of our personnel around. And yet we see and have seen a constant increase in the size of our fleet and a significant increase in the amount of the utilization of that fleet. In other words, we've got pilots out there that are state troopers with less than 150 hours of total time experience doing off-airport landings with Fish and Game personnel. When we should be hiring and utilizing private sector pilots. In other words, when we go to hire one, we insist he has to have 3,000 hours or he can't fly one of us around, right? One of our employees. But whenever one of our folks out there feels like utilizing the company aircraft, so to speak, he can. There's no restriction on the amount of hours or training that he has. And to be candid and maybe morbidly so, I mean, my dear friend Swackhammer would still be around if he hadn't been driving one of their airplanes at the time that he bought it. And what was his qualification and what was his level of experience in that aircraft, and how many 100 hours or 1,000 hours did he have? I don't know, but I know this much. It was probably significantly less than we would have insisted upon had we had a contract for flying that aircraft. And I just think it's a policy call that we need to take a serious look at. I don't think any of us here had any idea how great that expansion has become over the years and how much utilization is going on. But I'm pleased to see there is at least some reduction, but I'm also disturbed when I talk to the new commissioner, who tells me that he would like to have the finest fleet in the world, you know. And I agree with him. Our people are going to be out there. They ought to have the best equipment that we can get them. But I don't know that we need 46 aircraft and 6 or 7 helicopters so that each of our employees that wants to fly can get checked out in and then go flying off in a state-owned aircraft. When we checked out the logbooks over the last couple of years, a majority of the time that those aircraft were being utilized was for training purposes. And it's just a policy call. Do we want our own people driving a bunch of airplanes and helicopters around, or do we want to use the private sector? And if we're going to insist that private sector have certain qualifications, shouldn't we at least insist that our own personnel have qualifications of that level before we're utilizing them for that purpose? And believe me, I realize there are many times, especially with our smaller aircraft, when we're going to need people out in the more rural areas for doing patrol work and the rest of it. They absolutely need to have good Super Cubs and so on, and need to be able to utilize that. But we need to make, I think, a policy call here at the legislative level. And I just wanted to raise it on this section. And if the chairman of the subcommittee has commented on where that 127 was and whether we're going to take a further look at that, I'd really appreciate it.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Certainly the domain that I see that the state troopers has been significant out in rural Alaska, and especially their ability to go ahead and get around to the villages. And I can understand that they want to be able to have, especially with the shortage of manpower out there, their ability to fly back and forth. And it is somewhat awkward to go ahead and transport a prisoner that's in some way inhibiting his actions by handcuffs or whatever. So I tend to agree with that. I do have a problem though with what the general policy is, seeing the expansion of the aircraft that they have, and was wondering what was going to
come next year. Last year, we discussed them getting rid of their Long Ranger and getting an A-Star, and we were told that at that time they were going to get a used one, and certainly purchased or acquired a particular aircraft, the A-Star, which is much more suited to some of the work that they're doing. But it's my understanding they didn't buy the one that they presented to us. And so with that, I kind of want to see what they do have as far as a policy goes, so that 10 years from now, we don't have even more aircraft that are out there that we've got to maintain, house, and keep up the maintenance on. The other thing is the search and rescue. Having been involved with search and rescues over the last however many years of my flying career, there has been a change that is somewhat disturbing, and they are charged with search and rescue. I can understand that. But as far as going out there and searching, one of the reasons people go down and are in the process of searching usually with the aircraft searches that I've been on is because there has been inclement weather. When you got a pilot out there that's flying, and you're out there trying to search, you need somebody on the ground coordinating it more than you need somebody out there flying. So I would certainly want to keep an eye on that in the future. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Any other questions of the chair of the Public Safety Committee? Thank you, Senator Stevens. Okay, Senator Bundy, Labor and Workforce Development.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The subcommittee has adopted the following FY04 budget for labor workforce development. This budget contains general funds, federal funds, and other funds. There will be changes to the employment security appropriation which is now being divided into two appropriations. The first appropriation is compensation and safety, and it contains programs for workers' compensation, labor standards, and safety. The second appropriation, the business partnership, contains all the employment and training and unemployment insurance programs. This division is necessary for efficient administration and provides the tools needed for the department to meet the mandates of the Federal Workforce Investment Act of 98. Well, there's a general fund reduction to independent living rehab. The department has identified $300,000 in a carry forward of federal funds that can be used to help continue this service. There's also $728,000 in other state and federal funds that go into this program, and that does not include the Medicaid money that's available through HSS and other grants from nonprofits or private funds. We have someone here from the administration, and I would like to get some clarification. As we discussed this, the focus was on the $618,000 originally proposed reduction. Now that has been reduced to about $318,000. And I was led to believe that the total funds remaining for independent living services was nearly $5 million. I think I'd like to get on the record just exactly what is available. So when I finish my comments, if you could have the department folks come up.
Okay.
Yeah. To finish my report, the subcommittee concurs with the administration's efforts to increase efficiency throughout state government and changes made through the administrative order 205 establishing the Division of Business Partnerships in the Department of Labor, and that's reflected in this budget. Part of the administrative order does transfer AvTech and ConstruTech from DOE to labor.
Are there any questions for Senator Bundy? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. As we look at some of the budget impacts that are going on, especially one of the ones you related to at the end there, what kind of impact is it going to have by having vocational area training facilities out in rural Alaska changed over?
Madam Chair, actually, I think it's a positive impact, and I'll not put words in the commissioner's mouth, but he seemed to me very supportive of the community college kind of mission and the skill training that occurs at that level, and I think we have a good steward to look after those kinds of classes and education. But again, perhaps it'd be better if the commissioner spoke for himself.
Thank you.
And he just disappeared.
Well, Ed Fisher's here. Can Ed Fisher give you the information?
I'm Ed Fisher, Deputy Commissioner of Labor.
You want to restate your question or just comment, Senator Bundy?
Well, going back to my original comment, the independent living budget category, the cut, proposed $618,000 cut has been reduced by some $300,000. That's accurate?
That's accurate, yes, sir.
And I'd like to get on the record then how much money is available for the independent living rehab department.
The independent living component in our budget will be, as you have laid it out, I think $1.5 million. I'd have to look the line item up, but there are there are independent funds that flow to the independent living centers, or the centers for independent living that flow around the department, and those funds in some cases are used for other purposes, but the total, as we understand it, is about $4.9 million.
Thank you. And I don't know if Senator Hyatt adequately answered Senator Olson's question or not.
I'm sorry, I'm barely understanding.
I'm sorry, I don't know if I adequately answered Senator Olson's question.
Senator Olson, you
have a response? Thank you, Madam Chairman. The question that I have, and certainly when you have somebody that's somewhat removed from what actually was going on there, what kind of funding impact for the vocational technical training centers out in rural Alaska are, I guess, what's the overall effect that you're anticipating with this change?
Excuse me, through the chair, Senator Olson, the change from the Department of Education to the Department of Labor?
That's one of the things, certainly, but the funding source is the ultimate thing that we're interested in at this particular table.
As I understand, the vocational technical centers were cut before they were transferred from the Department of Education to the Department of Labor, and at this point we do not anticipate further cuts.
Do you know how, if I could, Madam Chairman, do you have the number that they were cut? Because I don't see the number.
I can give you that.
Go ahead, Senator Bundy.
There's the program change on the administration of a grant to Kotzebue Technical Center is reduced to $800,900 from $1.1 million.
And if I could, how do you plan on continuing on with the same amount of services?
I'm not sure I can answer that, Senator Hoffman. Perhaps address that in a different manner, but at this moment I'm not able to answer the question.
We'll try to get that information. If we can round up the information, that'd be good. All right. Thank you. Senator Hoffman?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm still unclear as to the response to independent living. If you look on page 2 on independent living, from the 03 management plan to the Senate subcommittee, we're seeing a reduction of 48% in this component, and I was wondering what is being changed from the 03 management plan to the Senate's subcommittee's report of the reduction of $763,900, or a 48% reduction.
The reductions that we proposed were $618,800. Over the 03 management plan, bringing the general fund or the independent living component to 828.9. And the restoration of the 300,000 will bring that to roughly 1,000,001.
Where's the 300,000 that you're talking about?
Through the chair of Senator Hoffman. Those are federal funds that are carried forward from this program year.
We've been joined by Commissioner O'Clery as well. I have some questions about the independent living line item and the changes to it. Would you restate your question, Senator Hoffman?
Yes, my question is that on page 2, it shows that there's a substantial reduction from the 03 management plan to what the subcommittee reported. A little under 50% of the budget looks as though it's being eliminated, and I was wondering what impacts this budget has on the total program.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, in simple terms, the impact that the Senate subcommittee passed on to you is a reduction of $318,000 in FY04. And the component of that reduction, our original request was to decrease the pure general fund dollar, $618,000, and we are rolling over $200,000 in that program, plus an additional $100,000 in assistive technology that we did not use last year. So the net reduction on the budget reported out of the Senate subcommittee is $318,000.
And what will this $318,000 not purchase? What is being eliminated?
As near as I can tell, and I have had a teleconference, the deputy and I and our DVR director had a teleconference with the head of Access Alaska on Friday to discuss what the impacts of that kind of a cut would be. I think Mr. Beck agrees that there will probably be a cut this year. We asked him to tell us what he thought the program could sustain and what the impact would be. So I don't have a definitive answer, Senator, at this point. My guess is there will be less clients served. If I might, Madam Chairman, there are two services that Access Alaska and those centers offer. The one that is most aligned with the Division of Vocational Rehab is the one that actually prepares folks to live independently in order to work, return to work. Then the other side of that is the 24-hour coverage where they have taken someone out of a nursing home to assist in living independently without any work plan. And that particular service is not aligned with the Department of Labor and Workforce Development's core service charge. So what we had asked Mr. Beck to do is if he could separate out those that are not aligned to go back to work so that we could seek other funding from perhaps another program to cover that side of it. He said that would be a little difficult, but I think the jury is still out. We're still in discussions with him on that. But in terms of reporting what Senator Bundy's subcommittee did, the current budget before you is a reduction of $318,000, and I cannot specifically tell you which services would not be delivered, but there would be an impact on client serve.
Any other questions? Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Deputy Commissioner. Senator Hoffman, to answer your earlier question, I've received a note. The $75 per person fee we've been talking about for health insurance referred to non-union personnel. The union and the bargaining unions will be covered in a full committee amendment to Section 1. and they weren't ready, and they didn't have all their agreements at the time of the subcommittee deadline, and that was, that's the delay, but it's slated for the language.
You're going to bid later, fine?
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you for asking that, though. Okay. Department of Law, Senator Bend.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The subcommittee report has adopted the following budget. There are some changes reflecting the governor's amended budget. This governor's amendment budget includes a $700,000 unallocated reduction. The department is waiting for a final audit report on the best places to take those reductions, but has agreed to take the reductions. The Victims for Justice Function and Associated Funding was transferred from the Department of Public Safety Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault Appropriation to the Department of Law. excuse me, this transfer moves the function and $246,000 in general funds to the Department of Law. This budget also reflects the department's reorganization from five BRUs to three, those three being the Criminal Division, the Civil Division, and Admin and Support.
Are there any questions about the Department of Law? Would the department like to respond? Oh, Senator Taylor?
Just one, and that was the transfer of the Council on Domestic Violence from Public Safety over to the Department of Law.
Some funding for the Victims for Justice.
I thought it was a transfer of their component.
That the funding for Victims for Justice came through, comes through the Council for Domestic Violence. Mm-hmm. It's just transferring the funding for that particular Victims for Justice project, which is a change they had requested. Okay.
And you said they had, who requested?
Victims for Justice Group.
Okay, Victims for Justice did. I was asking about Council of Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. I think it's
just a pass-through grant, Senator Taylor. Through Council of Domestic
Council,
Violence.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. Yeah, the Council remains with Public Safety. They've just moved the Victims for Justice.
They only moved that part. Okay, so that... So Domestic Violence Council, the shelters and all that, that still stays within the public safety component.
That's the question. Thanks.
Senator Chalker?
Question, excluding the Victims for Justice, what is, do we have a head count of full-time positions? Are we increasing, decreasing, or staying the same in this component?
Sorry, I can't hear your question.
The number of positions, full-time positions, are they...
Let me ask my expanded memory.
Okay.
Six, eight.
Yeah, I'm referring you to page two. Permanent full-time is the same as the House requested, same funding. It is a decrease of 0.2%, yeah. $276,000.
Does that answer your question, Senator Hoffman?
I was interested in the number of position head count.
You know, I'm sorry, the Attorney General is talking about folks that he's moved around, and I don't know the number that he has reduced, and I don't think he does...
I have someone here that might be able to help us.
Okay, oh, here we go. I was going to say, because the $700,000 reduction hasn't been completely allocated yet.
Good. Give your name, please, and who you represent.
For the record, I'm Catherine Dottie, Director of Administrative Services for the Department of Law. Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, the budget scenario as passed by the Senate does not reflect any changes in from the governor's budget. It's a, in terms of positions, there are no changes. There is the unallocated reduction like Senator Bundy referred to, and Senator Bundy is correct. We are waiting for the results of the performance review that the Conference of Western Attorney General conducted in the department to help us determine what the reductions in terms of staff will be.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there other questions? That concludes the presentation on law. Natural resources.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The Finance Subcommittee for Natural Resources is reporting out the following budget. The difference between the governor's amended budget and the subcommittee's report is probably familiar to the committee, and that's an increase of $7,363,500, and that is to make the fire suppression activities more closely reflect reality. This is a number that's prepared from a 10-year average, and an attempt, I think, as the chairman has indicated earlier, to reduce supplemental activity. Fire suppression is also separated into two activities and funding areas. And the separation is fire preparedness and actual fire suppression activities. The department felt that they could function a little more effectively with these two components rather than simply one. And as I said, it's a 10-year average. To keep all fire suppression functions together and the functions of fire preparedness, hang on a minute. Bottom line is there is a new BRU, the fire suppression preparedness, or BRU. The budget also reflects executive order changes, that of 105 to transfer Seismic Hazard and Safety Commission from the governor to DNR, 106 transferring the Division of Governmental Coordination from governor to DNR, under the Office of Coastal Zone Management, and Executive Order 107 that transfers habitat permitting functions from Fish and Game to DNR.
Okay, Senator Bundy, on the that item that I guess is generally referred to as fixed cost, and that goes into the fire preparedness section, and then the suppression and any actual firefighting that goes on goes into the other section of the budget. I like that approach. Very good. Are there any questions for the
Nico's here for my other expanded memory.
That's right there. Senator Taylor.
Yeah. At the bottom of the report, you talk about the timber receipts account and appropriating that balance, the unexpended balance. What amount was that and what did we appropriate it to?
Nico, can I ask you to address that?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Nico Buss. I'm the admin manager for the Department of Natural Resources. Senator Taylor, the amount of money that we carried forward for timber sale receipts, if that's what your question was about $240,000.
What did we appropriate it to?
And basically, the amount of money goes into the timber sale receipt funds, and then the unexpended amount of money carries forward. We do not always know when the operator actually cuts, so when the receipts come in, we don't necessarily control it. The fiscal year 03 budget had a significant increase in the timber sale receipt authorization. We are trying to meet that receipt, and we feel that the timber sale receipts carried forward will be less each year.
So where did you appropriate the money to?
It's for basically the timber sale receipts are used to lay out the next timber sales.
So. Okay, and that's what occurred here. Right. You took the lapsed funds and basically put them back into the timber sales program.
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
that's where I had intended for them to go, so.
I think we had this discussion before.
Yes, we have, so that's why I was asking, to make sure that's where those monies stayed.
Are there any other questions about the DNR budget? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I was going to ask the Senator from Anchorage, when you're looking at the fire suppression activity account, there was a fair amount of discussion that went on with the lead aircraft, in fact, specifically the PC-7s. I was asked by the chairman that was conducting the meeting at the time. Are you familiar with that at all?
I'm familiar with the aircraft.
Am I familiar with that contract?
No.
You're not. I guess one of the questions I have is it a multi-year contract?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, it was a 10-year contract.
So we're bound for 10 years with the two aircraft that are flying a little over 500 hours a year for 10 years. One of the reasons I asked that is, and one of the questions I had at that time, in fact, according to my notes on 221, when you were in front of this committee, I asked specifically what happened to the other aircraft that were there, the T-28s. The answer was that they went south. You recall that?
Yeah, that's correct.
I'm not sure where your information has come from, but the aircraft that I have seen were not, and were used before, were T-28s. They were not owned by any kind of federal agency. In fact, a fellow by the name of Lee Rubble, the former owner of Alaska Crane, were there, and there's sitting right there in Bravo parking was one. So I guess I'm not sure how to go ahead and take that information, but it certainly was the one thing that I'm concerned about. If we're going to be trying to cut the budget down, you've got a several million dollar aircraft out there that's flying roughly 200 hours a year. It's a concern. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Are there any other questions about DNR? Senator Taylor?
Yes, I never heard an answer to the last question, that if it was a question. I guess we're stuck on a 10-year contract. Is that what you said?
That's correct. And just to clarify, those two aircraft, they do fly 500 hours. One of those aircraft is reimbursed by the federal government. So we fly those planes in Alaska, and as soon as they no longer need it, we send them both down south. So combined, one of the aircraft is paid for by the federal government, and they are lease purchase agreements, so we build up equity each year, and in the end, we own the aircraft, which in the long term is cheaper for the state.
Are there any other questions? Senator Olson?
We own those PC-7s?
After the last lease payment is done, we own them.
Well, I'm not sure I agree with that, at least from a business standpoint. I'm not sure that It makes a lot of sense. Partly, and one of the concerns I have is: are you familiar with the accident history of this aircraft?
No.
Just to enlighten the committee's vision here, there was a Pilatus test pilot that came on over and was involved in a fatal accident early on in the demonstration of that aircraft, and that's what caught my eye, and I've been watching fairly close. Obviously, it's a high-performance aircraft that is fairly impressive to fly. And you feel like you're in there like an F-14, although you're dealing with a prop aircraft there. So it's that reasoning, I guess, I find difficult to stomach, that the department would go ahead and get into a 10-year contract based on the idea that they're going to own them, and we're going to be saddled with it. Airplane that's going to be how many years old, with new technology coming on, and those kind of issues that are, I think, need to be cautious about. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Are there other questions about DNR? Thank you.
Thank you. I did have one before Nico leaves.
Yeah.
What's the current funding level for your land sales program within the department, and what do you contemplate this year you're going to sell?
through the chair, Senator Taylor. The total funding for land disposal will be about $3 million in the Division of Mining and Land of Water. We have currently most all of our available inventory available over the counter. People can buy it. They can buy it through the internet. They can sign on, buy whatever they want. And then we will be laying out more land disposal sites in this next year. I can get you the specific plans for fiscal year 4.
I just wondered what volume of land you had. That's what I was asking. You had for sale and what you thought you'd move. Do you have any idea?
I would have to get back to you on the total number of acres. I do not know off the top of my head right now.
And how does that compare to previous year's land disposal budget?
Each year, we've been selling more and more land. We started the program 2 years ago. Our sales are ahead of our projections. There's clearly interest, and so this budget includes a $2.5 million transfer